Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au. Open House around Australia with Lee Hatcher. And now, the human condition.
Lynn Worsley, good evening. I just feel like sitting and having a bit of counselling session myself. What an amazing,
absolutely amazing,
amazing
night.
Half hour that was.
Wonderful night.
If you've been with us over the past few weeks, I'm sure you've, with me, found our series on Empty Nesters with Lynn. Interesting, revealing, helpful as always, of course. Tonight we're kicking off with Lynn a new conversation that she says flows out of the empty nest thing. And that is what I reckon a vitally important and often neglected part of the human condition, and that's mentoring. Lynn, how is mentoring relevant to empty nesters?
Okay, well, Lee, last week we talked about the fear of having an empty nest and the difficulties that are associated, you know, with driven by the fear.
Yeah.
But one of the interesting things I'd like to look at is the study of people who have actually managed to get through that empty nest very well. And those people who are resilient through that stage, from the research, it's been found that they've negotiated the stage well because they've got role models who've navigated the stage before them.
Hardly surprising.
So they've had mentors, role models, and many people don't even see the value of looking at older people in our communities and our congregations, but those are the ones who've managed well, seem to have actually had that real sense of hope and purpose beyond the nest.
Yes.
And that's because they've got the role models who show them that.
So you're saying it's really important, hardly surprising. Is it the main thing that's been found for those who manage transition? Is that the main thing?
It's not just the main thing.
Okay.
It's linked with the sense of purpose and meaning. So if you have a role model who is driven by a different purpose and meaning in their lives to you, you're more likely to either dismiss them or be in conflict with the next stage for you. And we've been hearing some of those stories tonight.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Where people have had models, but they're not the best ones.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of conflict. But if you've got grandparents or parents who decided that their empty nest was a time to travel or spend their money or do things that are very much about what they wanted to do, and your values and purpose is about mission and community and helping people, you'd find that that empty nest was a time of really big conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you had parents or older relatives who had valued community and modelling and modelled that for you, you'd find that the transition much easier and you'd know what to do next. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with either value, but if it's out of sync with your own value, that role model needs to be in sync for it actually to be helpful for you.
Yeah, so having a role model, that's the same value and purpose. That's the key.
Yeah, that's right. So basically you can have a role model, but if the person who is the role model actually is in sync with your own values,
yes, yeah,
then you'll find that is really helpful.
Yeah.
Now, as Christians, we're told in the Bible to meet together,
yep,
in church or you know, in our groups or in our homes. It isn't just so we can feel good, but it's also so we can manage our transitions better without losing the plot along the way.
Yeah.
And people change their church attendance during various life's transitions. An empty nest stage is a really big one. But the research tells us that those people who manage the life stage well are linked to communities that have a wide range of ages.
That's interesting.
It supports the theory that's called the continuity theory.
The continuity theory. Please explain.
Yes.
As Pauline Hanson once said.
Continuity theory says that we cope well when we see our lives in a continuum. And that happens when we're nested in groups of people who are of all ages and we can see our value in all of the stages of life.
Yep.
So communities that are made up of a wide range of ages and stages. And that helps us to feel part of a bigger picture.
Yes.
And that's why the church is such a valuable place to be. Now, communities where there's value of a certain age makes people fear. Communities that where there is just value in one certain age make people fear getting old. And that's evident in some of the workplaces like modelling and the beauty industry. And resilience isn't a very obvious place.
Yes, that's interesting. In that place. So how's this link in with mentoring? Sorry.
Well, the link here is that if we know what the research is telling us about managing our life stages, by having role models who are linked to our own purpose and meaning, then it's time to start looking for these people in our lives and nurturing them as mentors.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, listening to tonight's talk back, you know, we've got people who haven't got fathers. It is time to look beyond. If your father isn't there, then looking into the community and finding role models in that community.
Yes.
In our churches or in our families. Mentors aren't hard to find, but they're often hard to engage because people have a notion that when you're old, that you're not valued. But I'd like to say that having someone older and wiser to reflect on your life decisions is an absolutely wonderful
thing. Like your mum.
Like my mum. Yeah. And it's also wonderful to spend time listening to stories of older people who've managed this before you and how they would change things if they could.
Yes.
Now, some churches and organizations run mentor programs and they are wonderful. And some of the programs focus on having mentors for youth, but I'm saying that we should all have mentors.
Every one of us.
Every one of us.
So regardless of whether it could be life, it could be faith, it could be job.
That's right.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're a person who doesn't have a role model in your own family who is in sync with your own values.
So you say they're not hard to find. I think that might sound a bit surprising. How do you go and find one?
Well, when you get to that empty nest stage, you should be pretty good at working out who the people are that interest you.
Yes.
But the key here is to open your eyes a little bit further. Start looking at who is in your community who does things that you value and who in our community behaves in a way that you would like to behave in the future.
Yep, yep.
And who do you admire? One of the things to do is to talk to your pastor or maybe someone else in the community who visits people who are involved with key people in the community and they have a value in that position is an incredible value because they listen to many potential mentors.
Yes.
And they might give you some ideas of people who you could talk to. Another way is to get involved in your community and do some things that give.
Because it's not only in churches that mentors can be found. That's an important thing to say. It's obvious, but an important thing to say.
Very much so. The empty nest is a time to take stock and realize that it's less about you and more about what you can give back.
Yeah.
As I said last week, your nest is never empty. Yes. When the divine lives in your nest, it's always exciting.
Yes. Is that in inverted commas?
Yes. And quite often your nest has room for other people, and one of them may be the mentor that you've been looking for.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily in your home, but in your life, that nest.
Yeah.
The challenge is to do something different with your life and look for someone to guide you in taking the steps and think about how they may have done this before you and how they did it.
Can I ask you this question? Have you got a mentor? Do you mind me asking?
I do. I have two, like you've mentioned already. I have my mum.
Yes.
An amazing mum. But I've also found someone who I also see for guidance and reflection.
But it's interesting that it's okay and if you talk to Mrs. Christie, who's, remind me, we've spoken to her on Open House for Mother's Day. She's 93.
Yes.
And she's a woman of great wisdom. So it's okay to have your mum or dad as a mentor.
That's right.
But there's another one that you have.
There's another one. I see Marjorie.
Okay.
And she's 96.
Wow. You go for the old ones.
I don't think she's really that old in her head, though, I tell you.
Yeah, good stuff.
And she's been an incredible influence on how I manage my decisions.
Okay.
She's strategic in the way she plans her older years so she can continue to minister to people. Her ministry hasn't ever finished. And that's always been her purpose and her meaning in her life. She's also given me all her old books to read, and we talk about them together.
Yeah.
Books by Merton, Nguyen, Stott, C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, yes.
Quite a few more.
Yeah.
Her husband also wrote many books and she gave them to me to read and that's been a real inspiration as well. And I'd like to say that I wouldn't have considered seeing her as a mentor until I became involved in the mentor program in our church.
Okay.
And I was aware that for a while we were trying to find mentors for the youth, but people didn't know how to mentor and they needed to be mentored themselves. So the mentor program became bigger with mentors mentoring mentors.
Circular argument. Yeah.
So mentoring is a big thing in many organizations, and if it's managed well, it can continue for a long time.
So is that how you found Marjorie
in
that mentoring program?
Yes.
Why her? Is there a reason why you picked her or why she chose you?
I think we were in some sort of education group for a while and we sparked off each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were challenging each other on various topics.
And
I really enjoyed talking to her.
I don't want to embarrass you, but you're a person who's dispensing on this program and in your job much wisdom for others, but you're not above getting some wisdom yourself.
I don't think anyone is.
Well, it's, you know, there are some who might not think that, but it is an important point to make.
It's very important. And I think, too, when you're in a position where you're giving advice, you need to be accountable.
Yeah.
And to have someone who's going to make you accountable is very, very important.
Here's the thing that leaps out to me for both of you. It takes time.
Yes.
How often do you see Marjorie?
She will tell you it's not enough, Lynn. Where are you? To begin with, we would see each other every couple of weeks.
Yep.
And then we moved to maybe going once a month.
Yeah.
And then, it's spread out from there. Look, there's a number of different ways you can run a mentoring program.
Yep.
And you can look at the way they're organized, and you can see that oftentimes in different organizations, the purpose is the same, that an older person or more experienced person oversees the other person.
Yes.
But the key in mentoring relationships is that that work is that there's a synchronicity in the purpose and values of those people.
Yep.
It's easier in a church or a place of similar faith, because there you can see there's a similar purpose and meaning.
Or in any community group, I suppose.
That's true. Yes. But the first thing in a mentor program is to have a person who does the matching process.
Okay. So you need a facilitator.
Oh, a little bit like a matchmaker, I suppose.
Oh, not romantic.
So people can put up their hands to be mentors or to be mentored.
Yeah.
And there needs to be someone who can work out who goes with who. But then there's training that's needed. So there are two really good mentoring books that I can recommend. One's called Mentoring Matters by Rick Lewis.
Yep.
Another one is by mentoring. It's called Mentoring to Develop Disciples and Leaders, and it's by John Mallison.
A legendary man.
A legendary
with whom
man.
I've shared a coffee.
Yes.
Quite a few years ago. A great man of wisdom.
Yes. And both of these books outline how to mentor and some of the skills needed, but the organisation of the programs needs to be very carefully organised.
Yeah, so it's no random thing.
No.
That's
no,
the message.
It really needs to be organised well.
And purposeful.
And there needs to be a working with children check, and for those people who are working with young people.
Yep.
But there needs to be a check-in and a check-out process.
Yep.
So if people aren't happy with the person that they're seeing, they can opt out without getting hurt.
Yeah.
So it's also really helpful to have a trial period, and you can reflect on the relationship. Yep. And I always suggest a 3-month period of meetings and then a review until you can find the right person.
Yeah.
But if you want to find another person in the mentoring program, you could always try a couple of different people.
Yeah, so that's okay to chop and change a bit. I think it's a very valuable thing. I've done a bit of it myself. Time pressure is always the thing, and I've seen lots of people highly value being mentored in both life and work. This conversation is going to continue next week.
Yes.
Which we'll look forward to. Where will you take us next week?
I think we'll look a little bit more at how we will mentor others and the way that we can mentor. And I think, too, after tonight's talk back again.
Yep.
I think mentoring is an incredibly valuable thing.
Step up to it.
Yes.
Lynn, thanks so much. See you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.